panic.
Yeah.
So that's just Andrew moving it on up to the more recent. So the main... McLuhan expects the figure of anti-gravity energy emerge from the ground of anti-gravity effects, meaning that we live in an anti-gravity reality ever since radio and TV. So the figure of that ground will be the actual hardware manifestation of anti-gravity energy, where you get what's called efficient causality,
mm-hmm.
and actually make a machine that'll move you around slower than you move by telephone,
right.
And we'll call it anti-gravity.
Yeah.
And also the anti-gravity energy would affect, be like cold fusion, give us more energy than we could manage.
Yeah.
That's Stephen Greer's idea, that, mm-hmm. that September 11th happened because his popularizing of cold fusion had to be stopped. Did you ever hear Stephen Greer talk about that?
No, I have not.
He's megalomania who thinks mm-hmm. that September 11th happened because the old guys were worried about the spreading news, good
yeah.
news about cold fusion, so they did September 11th to stop
yeah.
Stephen Greer's campaign.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think he's a little bit delusional.
Yeah, so the, so we did, Jack, I read the Gale, so
yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to hurry in responding to Gale, I'll just, I haven't had time. I've been on the phone the whole for fucking 12 hours.
I know, I got 90 minutes of you on tape.
Good, well, that'll yeah. be important.
Yeah, I guess. That's all. I was zeroing in on the McLuhan aspect of the anything that relates to UFOs, you know.
Right, and the you got me on tape reading from the Evergreens book.
Yeah, that was good. That's great. Yeah.
You should buy the booklet though.
Okay.
It's only cheap, you know. Here, write this. You got to call them up.
Okay, hold on.
Ask for the booklet.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me. It's all, I'm putting it on the tape. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's 604-536.
Mm-hmm.
7402.
Mm-hmm.
536-7402 is the phone number for the Michael Blake and his
right.
wife and
okay.
their secretary. And you can
okay.
order the booklet called Visitors of Time and Space.
Visitors of Time and Space.
It's a good booklet.
Good, yeah. Cool.
So,
mm-hmm.
I think that, so we, so how's your cold? Did it go away?
I'm still coughing. You can hear me coughing, but it's down,
yeah.
it's... You know, no.
But it stays there. If people report it goes on for 6 weeks, it lingers.
Well, yeah, mine's been like 3 weeks, I guess.
Right. No, I still got the mucus.
And it's down
I don't
in my
know
throat, you know.
What? The lemur-like animal. They notice its flexibility.
The lemur,
Lemur, yeah.
yeah.
They notice it survived the Holocaust or the comet, whatever fucked up the dinosaurs.
Oh,
And they followed that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evolution, and it led to the apes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the apes were what they altered. So, yes, they've been tracking this place.
Yeah.
But we never interacted with them until, what did I say, like 18,000 B.C.?
Yeah, something
like something
that.
Like
that.
After, you know, once they altered us, then about 23,000 or something,
yeah.
a few thousand years later, they did something to us.
Yeah.
So they dropped in every now and then. They did. So,
yeah.
you know, if you want to believe that we've been here, some people say, oh, we've been here, humans, for millions of years, and... We've been fucking aliens for millions of years. Well, yeah, maybe, but that'd be ever logical to me. I think the 27,500 B.C. is a shocker that we were altered then. But it's close to what archaeologists or fossilologists say.
Not really.
Humans
no.
seem to show up about 30,000 B.C.
They've got stuff now, million
they
year.
Got, they, yeah, but those they, are fossils of upright animals.
No. They found some shit in the United States, believe it or not. That goes back to the same thing, the same time or older than Leakey's stuff in Africa.
But what is it they found?
Homo sapiens.
Right, that's the apes. Now, wait, let's get this straight. The apes are around for thousands of years, but they're altered in 27,500 B.C.,
yeah.
which is almost 30,000 B.C., which is where human culture kind of started to surface.
And they also found a connection in Spain... with the Cro-Magnon, they've solved the riddle of what happened to the Cro-Magnon or Neanderthal.
Cro-Magnon man is the one that got altered.
The Neanderthal. What was it? Neanderthal. They missed it. Which is they missed? The
okay, look.
Which is the one they
Neanderthal
missed?
Neanderthal apes.
Neanderthal.
Here's what the Evergreens say. Neanderthal apes were not altered. They died out. The other apes in Africa mm-hmm. that were altered are what we call Cro-Magnon man. What do you call the ape that led to Cro-Magnon man? I don't know if they have a distinction. But there was a different thread of apes, and they were altered, and they are what we call Cro-Magnon men. Mm-hmm. I didn't read that to you, but that's the point.
Well, now, which one? Neanderthal is the one they thought was missing that disappeared. Well, they found out that there are babies found that are crossbreed between Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal.
Well, that might happen.
And they bred them out of existence. They didn't kill them.
That's possible.
They didn't kill them. There wasn't. They've got. They've
nothing
got
nothing about anything.
They've got the proof now on that.
Well, they've got our technology measure certain things.
No, they found the fossils and found the bones. They found the living spaces. They found the villages.
So they crossbreed it. So what?
They found because that proves that they bred with them. The Neanderthal and Cro-Magnon were not hostile to each other.
And that might have been before. Who says they're hostile? They say they're hostile.
Well, no. In other words, if there was a war between Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal, and the Cro-Magnons wiped out the Neanderthals, that's the popular belief that they had until they found this new information, which is only probably about 6 months old.
Right. And so they're saying that the Cro-Magnons outbreed the
They bred them. They became the same. We carry Neanderthal genes.
Well, that's true, but
they've genetically examined these remnants that they found.
The secret. Yeah. First of all, the Cro-Magnons breeded out the Neanderthal because they became more conscious, more human, and
yeah.
They had the edge, so they got rid of them.
Right.
The Everines say that our genetic science will not be excellent for 150 years.
Yeah.
Because once we have the contact, I think it's there's another confusing factor, another question I brought up.
Yeah.
Will the aliens, once we have contact, tell them that they altered us? And Yerine says, well, if we ask, they will tell us. I don't know if we will ask.
Yeah.
But the point they said is that science will not recognize that we were altered, and until we do that, we won't fully understand the gene, and therefore our genetics will be faltered. And in 150 years, we'll finally acknowledge, there's this alteration that happened to us. And
yeah.
Then we'll understand the gene better, and we'll do better genetics. So there's something to look for 150 years. Watch how the scientists ignore. When the alien comes and there's some kind of contact in a press conference,
mm-hmm.
If you're alive, Walter, ask the question, did you guys alter us?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody will laugh, and the guy will say, yes, we did. Everybody will laugh, what a comedian. But it'll be true.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't recognize it for 150 years.
Yeah. Well, I could tell.
Very interesting prediction.
I could tell that already. I don't need to be a. I could tell that our genetic science is long, long way to go, man. I mean, they don't know shit.
Yeah, but this is the interesting conversational point. I say this on the radio show a lot. I say, I'm putting it on the record.
Yeah.
And if I'm right, in 200 years, I'll say, holy shit, this fucking guy knew it 200
right.
years ago.
Yeah.
What we refuse to acknowledge.
Yeah, yeah, it's just they got a whole long way to go. I don't think they've even got, they're not.
I know, but the point is that the key factor they won't acknowledge for 150 years is the fact we were altered.
Well, yeah, but they won't acknowledge all. They won't acknowledge that the Chinese discovered America.
Yeah.
Read the book 1421. It's a great read. You'll really enjoy it.
Well, the Bhutians discovered America.
Well, yeah, but I mean, as far as making maps and
right.
and leaving a trail that for Columbus to follow, it was the Chinese. It wasn't,
right.
And the Piri Reis wasn't from outer space. It was from the fucking Chinese.
Right.
Sailors, 2,500 ships, man, that's unbelievable. The biggest armada ever fucking known to float on
right.
the oceans of the world. And the ships were bigger than football fields. They were Chinese junks, so they couldn't sail. They had to have a following wind, push them square, and then they would use the currents,
right?
And
so there's a historical fact, a little fact.
Yeah,
it doesn't have much resonance now, does it? I mean,
nobody believes it. Nobody fucking will believe it. They think Columbus discovered America. The stupid fucks.
Well, no, that's because media creates certain kinds of people. That's the print people, the American print archetype, who doesn't want to believe any other archetype. Chinese want to believe their archetype, so every culture fights over their...
Well, no, planet. The Chinese lost this, and it was a British submarine commander that brought it back, but all the evidence exists in China, and the Chinese are now waking up to their own fucking history, and they've got all the artifact artifactual evidence. They've got the stuff that they brought back in 1423 on the ships from the New World.
But in 100 years, when China runs the world, yeah, they will be able to make everybody understand that.
Well, they're already beginning to, because thanks to this guy Menzies, who was a British submarine captain.
Well, that's good.
Commander, you know.
Because I don't think we need to argue among ourselves, different cultures, over what's what, since we're all merging anyway.
Well, yeah, but no, but it's very important. That's why the...
Important for who?
Same-sex marriage is very important. Because it leads to interspecies marriage. You know, the reason you see it on the TV, they got blonde women fucking black guys all over the place, right?
You mean on TV shows?
TV shows, movies, all that stuff. They're really pumping it. Used to be black women and white men, but now it's white women and black men.
Right.
So that's, they're pushing the shit out of it. That's like a racial fear they're confronting. Until we get over the racial fears, we're never going to be able to concede that gorillas can talk or think.
Right. So what you're
and we're never going to be able to crossbreed with little lizard people.
Yes, but what's this about same sex? You're saying homosexual sex.
I'm saying same sex marriage is only a step in the exception of interspecies. Congress. Yeah.
Wait, we're gonna start fucking animals?
No, we're going to fuck aliens. The aliens are going to fuck us.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
And lizard people or whatever the fuck they are. You know?
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Praying mantis guys. How would you? And then Randy comes up with this woman. Now he says he's writing this thing down. I did an eight-hour interview with this lady, and I got it on tape. It's just fucking amazing.
When did you do it?
Back 2 years, 3 years ago.
And what is she?
And she is like being fucked by a green, 7-foot green lizard man.
Well, that's Pamela Stonebrook.
No, it's not Pamela Stonebrook, but it's somebody like that. And it's a girlfriend of Randy's that lives in Orange County.
Well, I think the Evergreens got the handle on that. That's a bunch of fantasy.
Well, I don't care. It's a great story, man.
Yeah, it's a good story.
And when she says what the sound of the alien, you know, it gives you a hard-on, man. She does the sounds and shit of being fucked by it. And then she said her arms were being pulled off and ripped, and then she realized, wait a minute, it doesn't hurt. That can't be real. And she came out of the trance. He was doing a mind meld on me, she says. And he came out of the trance, and there he was with his fetid breath and his lizard face right in front of me. And he was still trying to fuck me, but he wasn't. He didn't tear my arms off. You know, it's a great story, man.
Yeah.
And what people hallucinate, you know?
But see, when we understand the media extend our limbs and then the digital world amputates our limbs, all that are fantasies of what media does to us.
Yeah. Well, what about lizards? How do you get... I've been thinking...
Oh,
about,
you know what the lizard...
What is the lizard?
The lizard is the TV screen. You know, when you take acid.
Yeah.
You see the scales of the lizard, which is the same scales on the cathode ray tube.
Oh, yeah.
On the screen.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's what... I had to sell the alien, the E.T., the standard image of the E.T. with the slit eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a combination, and saying they're lizards. It's a combination of the TV body and the chip body.
Okay, now
you put the chip body together with the TV body, you'll have a public fantasy that there are lizard people.
Yeah, I think it all goes back to kind of a broken understanding of what's really going on. And what's really going on is you have a limbic... You have a reptilian brain called the limbic system that has to do with all your emotions and stuff and intuition, all kinds of great stuff.
The reptilian brain, so that's in there too. So so we've extended our central nervous system.
Yeah.
And TV creates a very instinctual culture.
Right.
And so our anthropomorphizing of that is that it's reptilian brain.
Right.
So that's more support for my theory that the image, the David Icke idea of these lizard people is a projection of first nature on the TV effect.
Right. That's great, Bob. I got that. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Is that
you.
On tape?
Yes.
Good. Let's leave it at that.
That's important. Important because this guy Icky is like a pain in my ass.
I know. And I just wrapped it up.
Yeah. That's great. Because, well, I mean, I don't know. When I saw the great white shark getting fucked, remember I told you about that? It takes five sharks to fuck a great white.
Yes.
They turn her over.
Yeah.
And then when she gets over, she goes immediately. You can see what a trance is, you know. She goes immediately into a trance, and her Bombay doors open. right?
Yeah.
Vulva, I don't know what you call them on a shark.
Right.
And then he, then the male, I don't know how they decide who's going to be the fucker and the fuckee, but, you know, the male comes over and dives down over her and swims right over her and just drops a load. He opens, he's got similar kind of genitalia, if you can call them that, like Bombay doors, and he just drops a load of white stuff in, and then swims off, and the other four sharks let go of her fins, and she turns over, and she swims off, and that's it. Doesn't look like they had any fun at all.
Right.
You know? No, nothing.
Now, the, now, what, you're taping, what was I going to say?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so just to add up, you should, can you go online and hear shows streaming live? Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, on Sunday nights from 7 to 9, which would be 4 to 6 your time, Carol and I and her partner Delia are on the Internet.
Oh, really?
We have a, we have a two-hour show, and you could email questions and stimulate the dialogue.
Great.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday. Okay.
So I'll send that Earl to you.
Yeah, okay. What time is what time?
In Bon Echo. I'll send you Bon Echo's site.
It's 9:43 right here in San Francisco right now.
Right.
What time is it?
Quarter to one. We're 3 hours ahead of you.
9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, what's England?
First of all, did you say it's 9? Yeah, it's quarter to 10.
Yeah, quarter to 10, right.
Yeah, so it's quarter to one here. England is 5 hours from me, so it's 8 hours from you.
8 hours, so it'd be 9, 10, 11, 12. It'd be, say, 10, 11, 12, 1. It'd be 6 in the morning.
Well, it's 9, it's 10 and 2, so 6 in the morning. It's quarter to 6 in the morning.
Quarter to 6 in the morning. So I'll wait a couple hours.
Yeah, 10, it's 5 hours from me.
There's some lady.
Yeah, it's quarter to 6 in the morning.
There's some lady called me, left a message, and she wants to interview me in May. Coming over from the Tate Gallery.
About the 60s stuff?
Yeah.
Well, I'll send you the Gerds. Yeah, they're doing the 60s. Gerd Stern is, Usko is going to be in that.
Oh, yeah.
In the Liverpool?
The
60s Liverpool thing?
I don't think it's Liverpool. It's in the Tate Gallery is all I got.
But they're doing, it's about the 60s,
about
right?
The 60s, yeah.
Yeah, and Gerd's part of that. You didn't know Gerd Stern, did you?
Yeah, I knew Gerd Stern.
Oh, okay. So his Usko is being celebrated at the Anthology Film Archives on Easter weekend.
Well, good.
So all those guys, Michael Callahan, did you know that name?
Yeah.
He was Gerd's associate.
Mm-hmm. And then Judy Stern,
yes,
is right.
Yes.
And I know his son, Zalman, who's a fucking big time. He's
Photoshop everything.
Yeah. He's invented a whole lot of shit for computers, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
And
Gerd, I brought it up again about, you know, Judy says to you that he was stolen by the television. He said, well, you know, that's Judy's imagination. So yeah. Gerd doesn't agree with Judy's interpretation of what happened to the son.
Well, that's why they, oh, yeah, that's why they
why they had a divorce?
Yeah, well, that's why they had a divorce. But Judy had custody of the son. He didn't. He hardly saw the son.
Right.
So
but Judy is pretty sure it was an intelligence agency that he got swept up by.
Well, he fucking they hacked into Fort Huachuca, Sierra Vista, military DIA intelligence headquarters on the border.
Zalman did.
Yeah, when he was like 13, 12 or something. 12 or 13, you know. And
okay,
he and two or three buddies, and they showed up in the middle of the night, and they took him, and they grilled him, and then they said, you go to Carnegie Mellon or else, you know.
Right.
And they sent him there, and he went to Carnegie Mellon, and he's done really well. I've never seen him again after that.
Oh, when did you see him?
I saw him when he was 13 years old.
In Tucson?
Yeah.
Yeah. And did they take the other buddies?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't think they. I think they found out the ringleader was Zalman. He was the smartest one. So they took him. I don't know if they did any of the others or not.
Right.
And then Judy told me intimate stories about Dennis Hopper and her and all kinds of shit. I confronted Dennis with it, and he didn't deny any of it.
You mean he had a relationship with Judy?
He had a what?
Dennis Hopper had a relationship with Judy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were, you're saying negative, you had to confront Dennis about him?
No, I just ran into him, and I said, you know, Judy Stern, blah, 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 blah. He didn't, you know, I mean.
When did
I heard more stories about Dennis Hopper. That's quite a synchronous story. At Stanley's, he used to be a customer, and I'd see him standing there. I'd buy him a drink once in a while. He's a little dwarf guy, and he stood in the corner. He didn't say shit to anybody. He was very unsociable, and you know, that's all
he's
I
short.
Know. Yeah, short guy, and sat in the corner. and didn't cause any trouble or anything. So then years later, you know, and the Judy tells me this whole story about he's into S&M, B&D, and he wants to get her, and he comes with a whip, and, you know, she takes the fucking whip away from him, beats the living shit out of him.
That's in Tucson? When was it?
Yeah,
this
was in Santa Fe, I think, or Taos. And then I met
after
her.
After she split from Gert?
Yeah, and then I ran into him at the Sagebrush Inn in Taos. And I said, hey, you know, let's have a drink. And he says, I'm not drinking. This is my last drink. And that was his last drink because his wife, was new wife, and she was going to find out and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, I married Judy Stern. She said, da-da-da-da-da. And he just looked at me like, oh, fuck. You know, and he didn't say much. And then I had...
And that is in Palm Springs days?
Yeah, when I was editor of Palm Springs Live.
Yeah.
But before that, when I was in Millbrook, I met Peter Fonda. He had this phone book of a script, like a phone book size thing. The kitchen sink made no sense. And that was, he became Easy Rider. And then I met Nicholson on his 40th birthday. We got drunk together and celebrated.
But when you say you met Fonda at Millbrook, is that in 68 you mean?
In 60, probably 6, 5 or 6.
And he had a book.
It was a huge thing, the size of a phone telephone, New York City telephone directory, and it became the script for Easy Rider. But it was like everything in the kitchen sink. There's no shit. Was a shapeless mass at the
right.
time.
And then you meet Jack when he's 40.
And then I met Jack, and then I met Dennis, and I asked them all about Easy Rider. I'm the only one that knows about it, and they all take credit for doing the film, for conceiving of it. Jack is a
Wait, you see Peter, he says, here's the script. So you know he claims he has the script.
I looked at it, and, you know, it made no sense.
So he had it.
He was the originator of it.
And then you meet Jack, and what?
And then I met Jack, and he says, you know, I saved that fucking story, you know, because the part where the guys killed me, my character is killed in the sleeping bag, that was all mine. And without that, the thing wouldn't have worked. You know?
All right, so that's his view. Then you meet Dennis, and what's he
say? So then I met Dennis, and Dennis directed it, you know.
Yeah.
And he says, I did all that, and this and that, and this and that, you know. So everybody, you know, it's just like creativity. Everybody says they did the East Village other two, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's the same.
Okay, so what? How old is Jack? When would he be 40? What year was that?
He was 40 when I was 38.
That's 76, so he's born 36.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack's like almost 70 now.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks pretty good, too.
Yeah, so yeah, you're 38. That'd be 77. You 38. You're born 39. Yeah, that'd be 77. It's when he's 40, so he's born 37.
Yeah.
And that was in Aspen. You met him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
man,
I met him two or three times in different places, but you know.
And
Aspen.
Then we can bring up the tragedy. You failed to meet John Lennon. You know, that was the tragedy.
It wasn't a tragedy. It was just a. A great lesson.
Great
because,
lesson,
you know, the guy that was with him at the time that I wouldn't go up and talk to him, he wore a silk shirt, and he just had bad vibes, man.
Yeah.
And Lennon and I made eye contact, and I could have said something across that, but that guy just totally repulsed me.
You know who the guy was?
Yeah. He's that guy that just been on trial for murder down here.
Oh, Phil Spector.
Phil Spector, that's who it
right.
is. That's who
oh,
it
yeah,
is.
He always had bad vibes.
But I never fucking knew who it was until I saw him in this murder trial, you know.
Really?
Which
just lately?
Yeah, which happened, what, 3 years ago?
It's still going.
Yeah, but, I mean, the trial's going, but the murder occurred 3 years ago, I think.
And you recognize him.
And I said, that's the guy that was with John Lennon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he was, and that would be about, is that Palm Springs again, that period? No, he died in 80, so it had to be in the middle 70s or something.
Yeah.
When he left Yoko.
Yeah, I was with Carl Payne Toby. Yeah, that was the time he was left Yoko, and he was...
Yeah, he was really lost then.
Yeah,
he
was lost, and fuck, if I'd have met him, maybe I would have been shot. Or who knows? You never know what life would be different. Maybe
that's what I want. So my end point is, I asked the Evergreens about the UFOs and this stuff. Then when I met George, the multimillionaire, and he started swapping his tapes... He and his son had asked a few questions, so we pooled what we had, and they had the same problem. The Evergreens were, I don't know if I finished that thought, so they were very careful. That's what I didn't finish. So I was using the Einhorn example.
Yeah.
They wouldn't tell me what happened until after the trial.
Yeah.
And it's George and Maya's theory that the Evergreens won't tell us what the exact things about the UFO, because it's going to be it's a major meeting. And one person knowing too much fucks up the dynamics.
Uh-huh.
And also, I want to be enjoy the surprise as anybody else.
Yeah.
So the
when's this going to happen? When's this meeting going to take place?
I'm predicting George and I have sort of calculated the around 2025, 2026.
Yeah, I don't think.
According to what we've got from the Evergreens,
yeah.
The way we're going to have to develop cold fusion first.
Yeah.
I went into this a bit, not the UFO part, but the cold fusion thing on my talk at the church that you missed.
Right.
But the when we get our cold fusion thing going through China, China will break it out and break out humanity out of the oil thing.
Yeah.
Then we'll have achieved something. We'll also understand that amazing energy and technology. Then we'll feel like we've accomplished something. Then we'll be ready to handle meeting a superior version of it.
But
because we'll have accomplished a certain level ourselves.
How does cold fusion relate to zero-point energy?
That's the same thing.
It is?
Yeah, that's just another later. They kept you can't use the term cold fusion. It became a bad stigma in the early 90s. So they just keep changing the terms. They have over-unity was another term for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're just and there's a
because
new term
you know quantum.
Oh, that was. I forgot to tell George about the coal. You saw the coal fusion article that LaRouche put out.
No.
I sent it out.
What did you do?
253 studies.
Yeah.
Investigating coal fusion.
Yeah.
Most of them saying, "Yep, this something happening."
Something happening. Yeah.
It's Edmund Storm's website. That's on some of the things I sent you. Maybe.
It's probably on there. I just if it was long, I looked at the first paragraph.
No, it's just an URL. You go to the. To the site. Maybe I'll send it to you sometime.
Okay.
Again. Mm. But I'm not going to worry about it right now.
No.
Information overload.
Right.
So the China will do the cold fusion. That'll, the great thing about Bush, you know about this. The great thing about Bush is that he will cause a big quagmire in the Middle East. That'll cut off oil from China. China then will be forced to find an alternative source, and they will pick cold fusion.
Yeah.
And then we'll move through, and then that's why the Mayan calendar ends in 2012. Because they could not understand a frictionless-based energy source in their calculations. So they just figured, I don't know what happens after 2012.
Yeah.
But it's cold fusion.
Yeah.
So we'll have that for 10 or 12 years, and then we'll be ready for the UFOs.
Yeah. So 2012 is the day. I'm going to live to, I think I've got guaranteed 2023.
Good. Maybe. Get you at least till the contact.
Yeah, that's not 2025, yeah. I always thought I'd stick around for the contact, you know.
Right, so that would be, you got 20 years.
Yeah.
You said you got another 20
years.
Yeah,
I got 20, yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see.
We'll see you there.
We'll see what we see.
And here.
And here.
And touch.
And because there ain't no time.
Oh, yeah.
And space is an illusion.
Yep.
So none of the shit that we depend upon is real. And
right.
You know, like
you should hear some of the George's past life evergreens. Really amazing. At a certain level, none of the events happen. It's pretty interesting. It's like quantum life.
Really?
Quark life, yeah.
Yeah.
He had this past life where he made a decision, so they went and battled another tribe, and they won, so that was good. Then the evergreen said, but, another way it happened is that you went there and you lost. And then there was a third way. No one showed up. All three realities are part of your life.
That's right.
That's like talking about quark particles.
That's the Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
All right.
There you've got an earful.
Okay.
Thanks for your story.
All right, thanks for being in my ear, Bob.
It's been great. And next time we have you on, we'll take calls from the listeners.
Okay. I'm sorry I got sick out here and didn't miss you last time.
Everybody got sick. I mean, that virus was strong, whatever was going on.
Yeah,
in that room.
It was really unbelievable. But that was the first time I came out, that I've always been protecting myself from exposure to the other human beings.
You mean over the last few years?
Well, I hadn't been out for a year and a half.
Right, so you were vulnerable.
Yeah, so I was in cloistered away and
in a
private little place and in the hospital otherwise,
So you did all for me and Carolyn, so great. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah,
you sacrificed yourself.
Yeah,
get out.
Yeah, so anyway, so sorry I got sick, though. I thought I was stronger than that, but I found out I'm not very strong at all.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, after, I don't know.
All that.
I mean, shit.
I'll tell you another time. I went and saw Eric Idle last night. Man, was he funny.
Oh, he is funny, isn't he?
Yeah, and he did a great speech, but I'll tell you about that some other time.
Okay.
Okay, talk to you later.
Talk to you later, Bob. Bye-bye.